Hi everyone, welcome to Cloud Cover. My name is Chris Reisner. Today I'm joined by my co-host Hashi Bai.
Hello.
And today our special guest is Brian Moore.
Hello.
Brian, would you like to tell everybody about yourself and what you're here to talk about?
My name's Brian Moore. I'm a program manager on the Azure Tools for Visual Studio. And so we're going to talk today about the Azure Resource Group project for Visual Studio. We'll talk a little bit about Azure Resource Manager and how that all fits together, and I'll walk you through a demo of how to use it.
Great. Well, we're going to skip the news today and just go right into your presentation.
Okay. So first, Azure Resource Manager, it's the new interface into Azure. It allows you to declare or define your environments using JSON. Mm-hmm. And so the tooling in Visual Studio will help you through the process. It gives you some starter templates. It gives you some snippets and things that you can use to construct it easily. And then also a little bit about an end-to-end flow. So you can see that not only deploy in Visual Studio, but you might want to bring it into an automated workflow and deploy there. Mm-hmm. And the tooling is meant to help with all of that.
Okay. And so we've done a couple shows in the past that have mentioned Azure Resource Manager, and we'll link to those. But kind of the way I understand it is that essentially a Resource Manager template is a JSON file which describes mm-hmm. an architecture of resources that you might deploy into Azure.
Exactly. Yeah. Right. And there are a lot of samples out on the web. There's samples in GitHub. We've got some starter templates in VS. And then the demo that I'll walk you through today is we can actually build a template from scratch.
Great. Awesome.
So we get started here. I can just go and create a new project. And under the cloud node, you'll see this Azure Resource Group project. And that's how we get started. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to go ahead and add it to source control so we can see that end to end.
So sorry, is this part of the Azure SDK?
Or? Yes, it's part of the Azure SDK. Okay. So to see the project system, you'll need to have the SDK installed, and then also some of the tools that you'll see for working with JSON also needs the Azure SDK. Mm-hmm. So the first thing that you'll do here is actually select a template, and this is just to kind of get you started. We have a few basic templates here. As I said, there's a lot more that are in GitHub as well. And this is really your base template, so kind of the basic things you would need, and then the idea is that you would use the tooling to go ahead and build on as you need to add things. Mm. And so you'll see a lot of different templates here, a couple new ones with virtual machine scale sets, you know, a service fabric cluster, the old web and SQL is there, and then as we kind of scroll down, you know, virtual machines, some logic apps, even a couple of Ubuntu examples.
Now, looking at these look very similar to what I'd see if I went to the Azure portal and I'd say new and I can, you know, look for options. Like, I know I've seen that web app plus SQL. Is it basically, like, as I understand, you know, when you deploy something in the new portal, it's using ARM behind the scenes, so it's basically creating the same template for what's being used there, really.
Yeah. Yeah, there used to be an experience where you could actually pull templates from the portal. You could use those in VS. The GitHub templates, you can bring those in.
Right.
The JSON is the same regardless of where you actually get it from or where you want to use it.
Okay.
One of the things that we've done in VS is we've tried to optimize the templates for a set of practices that minimizes the work that you have to do in terms of supplying parameters when you do deployment. Mm. So we've automated some things and made it a little bit simpler for a developer experience so that you would be able to get up and running more quickly.
Okay. And now, I didn't have a chance to watch the recent webcast about Azure Stack, but as I understand it, basically we're enabling deploying to the Azure Stack, so Azure in your own data center, using the same templates. Isn't
yep.
that right?
Yeah, the same template. You should be able to take a template from VS or GitHub or anywhere. You should be able to deploy that to Azure Stack, to a private cloud. All the templates should be the same there.
Great.
There are some differences with, you know, API versions, so
sure.
they all might not have the same services installed or the same versions.
Yep.
But in general, the templates will be largely the same.
Very cool.
So I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to start with a blank template just so we can see how the tools actually help you build it from scratch. So once the project's created, there's a couple artifacts that will come in, and I'll show you a little bit about those. Go ahead and use Git. And so you see here there's a couple folders that we add. There's one for scripts, one for templates, one for tools. The tools here really is just to help you copy things to Azure. So the PowerShell script that we supply will actually do a lot of the work for you.
Mm.
VS uses a PowerShell script. It's your code. You can take it and go modify it and use it in your experiences. And that leverages AZ copy in some scenarios. I'll actually walk through that, but basically what that does is when you have certain artifacts that need to be deployed with your template. So if you have a VM that you want to configure, so you have a configuration script, or you have binaries that you want to put on it, there's also the concept of nested templates or nested deployments in Azure Resource Manager, which are kind of like pound includes for the JSON. Those are separate artifacts that you would need to deploy into Azure, and that's what the AZ copy helps with. And so the heart of it really is here, the templates. And so I chose a blank template, and so I kind of have just a generic template, nothing in it. We chose blank. Mm-hmm. And then when I open it, it'll bring up the JSON outline, and that gives me a kind of a little bit terser view of the raw JSON to kind of look and navigate through the template. From there, I can come in here, I can say, add a resource. And so this is another part of the tooling and the experience, where I have all these resources. We call them snippets. They're really kind of complete resource chunks of JSON that we'll go and we'll add into the template. And we do a couple things as we go through that, and I'll show you. But you can see there are a handful of snippets here that you can go through. We're adding things all the time. Mm. These are actually hosted in the cloud, so regardless of what version of the SDK you have installed, new ones may show up just as we add them.
Very nice. Mm-hmm.
So if I wanted to do something like the other thing that this experience will help with, so let's go take a, we'll take a virtual machine here. The tooling knows that when I create a virtual machine in Resource Manager, I also need a storage account, and I need a virtual network. And another thing I actually need is a network interface card. Since you're not going to add a virtual machine without a NIC, we just put that in there for you, and I'll show you that as we go through.
Makes sense.
But the other things that you might use could be shared. So for example, I need a storage account for my VHD. And so we let you create one or select one. And I need a virtual network that I can put the VM into. And so that's what this part of the experience will let us do. So we'll just go ahead and we'll name the VM. So I want to set up a web server. And then here, since my template is blank, I don't have anything, it allows me to create a new one.
Is there any functionality to connect into existing resources you might have in your Azure subscription here?
Not yet. Okay. So there's a couple other ways you could do it. You could go into a resource that you have in another resource group, a resource that you have in another subscription, depending on the relationship to that.
I see.
And we need to, that's one of the next steps for our tooling, is to kind of help you get through that part of the experience.
Okay, great.
And then same with virtual network. And then you can see as I added both of those, now over here in my outline, you can see my VHD storage account and my virtual network. And then as I go ahead and add the VM, the rest of the stuff will come in. So I have my NIC, I have the web role that I put in place, and then the other resources as well. Then the other thing that was added are variables that we use throughout. So there's a lot of things that you can configure for a VM. There's a lot of things you can configure for a virtual network. We make those variables so they're easy to change. You don't have to go down into the JSON and change each place. So you can reuse those. And then there are a handful of parameters. And these are things that are probably unique to your deployment, or you actually want to have some say or some awareness of what those things are. So, for example, if I have a username and a password for my VM, I need to know what those are. I don't want the same default that everybody has when they use the tooling to create the create a VM. And another example, so now I've got my VM set in place, but the one thing that I don't have in here yet is I don't have a public IP address. Yeah. So that's another thing. And that's a little bit different scenario. So if you're doing a dev scenario, you might want a public IP all the time. But if you're deploying, say, into an existing virtual network, you may access it through ExpressRoute in that virtual network. So we don't automatically add a public IP for you.
Right.
But if you want to add one, it's easy enough to go in here, scroll through the snippets, and find the public IP. And then it'll ask what network interface card I want to bind it to. I could create a new one again, but since I'm just setting up with my VM, I'll add that. And now that will also add a DNS name, so now I can name my VM, and then I can log into it that way as well.
Cool.
So the next thing that this is where the tooling really starts to help a lot is, suppose I want to configure this VM. So I have a VM here that I want to configure as a web server. So I can come in here, and I can find an extension custom script for Linux. And that's actually going to let me select a virtual machine that I want to apply the extension to, since I only have one. There's just one in the list. And when I do that, now a couple things have happened to my template. As we scroll down here in my config, you can see here there's this file URIs property that was added. And what the tooling has done now is it's added a couple parameters to that, because what that's going to do is that also gave me this config script here. So I have a bash script that's going to actually do my configuration. There's nothing in there yet. But over here in my template, I have a reference to that. And that's what these file URIs do. Now, as I go through staging those artifacts and I go through my workflow, there might be different locations that I actually want to stage that to. A lot of the samples that you'll see, for example, the samples on GitHub will point to GitHub.
Right.
That's a public repo. It's mm-hmm. the same script for everybody. In your workflow, you're going to likely have a different place that you want to store those.
Yep.
And that's where the tools start to come in, is this PowerShell script that I'll show you in a second. That will actually do the copy into Azure. It will put it in a storage container. It'll put a SAS token on that storage container to secure it, and then pass that through to Azure Resource Manager so mm-hmm. that the deployment can complete. And that's what these parameters are setting up the tooling to do.
Wow.
So this pattern of, here's my location. This is going to be in my root and my storage account. And then all the way down here at the end is the SAS token that secures it. And then in between is going to be the separate parameter or variable for each resource. Mm-hmm. So in this case, it's the custom script.
Cool.
And since we added that custom script to your solution, we know what it's named, and we can actually set values for that in deployment, and you won't have to manage that yourself.
So as you were saying, if you want to set up as a web server, you go into that config script, and that's where you'd say, you know, install Apache, for example.
I just can go sudo install Apache, then I'll have that set up, and the extension will take care of that for me.
Great.
Yeah, I have to say, this is a much, much better experience than the manual editing before. It was great.
The other thing that this comes into play now, we've got that that pattern that we established using the artifacts location and the SAS token. Mm-hmm. So if I come in here and I need to add something else, so for example, we talked about nested templates. I can come in here and I can add one of those, and that's an extra file, and it uses the same pattern. So in the URI here, different property, but it uses the same pattern of artifacts location and then the SAS token as well. So everything that the tooling does is it's going to use that same practice, and then the PowerShell script knows as it stages things in Azure how that's going to work, and so you can leverage it that way. So I'm going to take that out for this part of the demo. And then as we go through here, so the PowerShell script is the next thing. So this is a script that's added to your solution. It's your code now. You can go and modify it how you see fit. There's some good and bad with that. So if you VS also uses the script. So if you modify the script in a way that breaks VS, you either have to fix it or just use the script outside of VS. There's no requirement that you actually use it in within VS itself.
Mm-hmm.
Since we set up the script, we actually put some defaults in here, so we know the name of your template file and your parameter file. So as you're dropping to the command line and typing that, you don't have to type all the parameters. There's a lot of defaults there. But really, the heart of the script, so there's two parts of it. I'm going to actually jump to the end here real quick. So I'm going to collapse this. And at the end of the script is the commandlets that actually create the resource group and deploy the template. And you'll see those over and over again in different tooling, different examples. Those are the core commandlets that you'll use deploying a template.
I see.
And that's all the same. The script then really helps here. You can see there's about 50 lines of the code here. When it comes into uploading the artifacts. And so because I have artifacts in my solution, the tooling's going to detect that, the script will detect that, and then it's going to go through the process of copying those into Azure. When it does that, it's going to use the storage account that you give it, and it'll create the URI and the SAS token for that, and then it passes it over into Azure Resource Manager so that it has that information for deployment. And so that's all the rest of the script does there. So when I call that through the UI, I can come up here and deploy, and we'll start a new deployment. And it'll list my subscriptions for me. I can create a new resource group. I can use an existing one. We'll just use an existing one. And then the storage account down here is actually where those artifacts are going to be staged.
Mm.
And so I have a list of the storage accounts that are available in my subscription. I think we'll go ahead and choose that one. And then I also have my template and my template parameters file that I select. So if I had multiple in my solution, it would give me a list there. Mm-hmm. I only have one, so they're selected for me. And the next thing we'll do is set the parameter values. So when I deploy, if I haven't filled them in, it's going to prompt me.
Mm-hmm.
And again, this is going to name the things that are important to me. So in this case, this is just my VM name. And then I have a username. I have a password for login. And then my DNS. And then it says here, actually we'll back up a second. So if you look at the artifacts location, artifacts location SAS token here, it says that those are auto-generated. So I can provide a value if I wanted to use the same storage account all the time and actually I had a persistent SAS token that I wanted to keep, I could just provide those values here and that would override it. In this case, I'm just going to let the script generate it. So it says it's auto-generated. I don't need to provide anything there, and I can go ahead and continue from there. Now this folder here, and this is actually the folder of where are my artifacts going to be staged. This is kind of a, it's about the structure of the folder. So one of the things in the resource group project that we have here, it's a VS project, but there isn't really anything special about the project system for it. It really is just a collection of files and folders.
Right.
So I could take this project and I can go open it in VS Code and I could do editing in VS Code. And I would get the same experience there. All of that will work in other workflows outside of VS. It's just that VS works in projects, so we created a project system for it. So what this is asking for here is what's the name of my project, because that's going to determine the folder that it was staged on, which is just my Azure resource group here.
I see.
And then from there, I can save this now, and then I can go ahead and do deployment. And when I'm in a dev environment, the other thing that we have to be aware of here is the password. So I just typed my password in.
Right.
It's masked, but when I save it, it's going to go into the JSON file, which isn't always the best practice once I get out of my dev box. So I want to make sure that when you do that, you know, we'll warn you that you're saving passwords in clear text. We're actually working on some functionality to put passwords into Azure Key Vault, so that you won't have to put them in your JSON file, you won't have to put them in source control, you can keep them in Key Vault, and then Azure Resource Manager will go ahead and pull those from there.
Okay.
For the dev sample, this will work.
So if you don't check the checkbox, you would be asked to enter the password?
Yeah, and actually we can go ahead and do that if it doesn't take too long here. So I won't save it, and then when I do deploy, when PowerShell gets to that part of the script, it's going to see that there's a missing parameter, and it should prompt me for that parameter. So here, when I get prompted for my password, I can go ahead and supply it on the command line, and then my deployment will continue. And then one of the things I want to do here is I want to go and copy this command line. So remember we said that VS just runs the PowerShell script. And so if I want to run this outside of VS, I can take that command line, and then I can go run it in whatever experience I want. Easiest way to do that is just to look at what VS does, and then I can go modify it, and I can use it in other experiences. So what I'm going to do, we won't wait for that to finish, is I can go over here to VSTS. I can go to Visual Studio Team Services. I can look at my projects. I can go in there and I can start a build. So what I have here is I've got a build definition that I've already set up. It uses that same Azure Resource Group project. It uses the same PowerShell script. And so there's a couple different things we can look at here. This sample here is actually using PowerShell DSC. So instead of using the bash script from Linux, we have a DSC configuration on this one. And it uses that same approach of staging artifacts into Azure. So we have the same pattern, we have the same parameters that are used by the PowerShell script. And now I can go ahead and use it in VSTS. To set up a build for this, so that in the case of an Azure Resource Group project, it's very simple. I just need to build the project that will put things out into a staging area on the build server. And then I can deploy from there. I can also deploy from source, and there's a GitHub sample I can show you in a second on how we do that. But in this case, I'm actually going to follow the project all the way through, and then I'm going to run the PowerShell script. So the build step is fairly straightforward. I'm just building my solution. That's the only project in my solution in this example. And then when I run the PowerShell script, this is the second part. And this is where the command line parameters come into play. So what I need to do when I run this script, I need to log into Azure, and that's what the first step does here. So if I had more accounts set up in Azure, I could select one there. And then I can select the PowerShell script itself. So in this case, you can see here the PowerShell script that was in my project. It's in my scripts folder, it's in my project. And what I've done here to start is I've actually added this environment variable from VSTS. And that basically just says, run it from the build output. Don't run it from source control, run it from build output instead. And then all of the parameters here are the parameters that I would need to give to add, or I need to add to actually go ahead and do the deployment if I were to do it from the command line. So one way I can do that is if I just look at what I copied here from the command line, here's what VS ran. And it's got a lot of absolute paths and things. Really, the only thing that I need, though, is I just need the arguments for the script. And that's what's in this part here. And so I can go through here and I can kind of customize it or tailor it to my build. So if I wanted to use a different storage account, I could change that. If I'm going to have a different resource group, I could use that. You know, if I want to set up a CI/CD scenario, if it's for the dev or staging environments. My location, I can change the template file and the parameters file. And remember, those are defaulted in the PowerShell script. So I could just remove these parameters, it would work.
Right.
But then if someone changed the script in source control and changed those default values, then my build would likely break. Mm. So if I specify them on the command line, then I know that they're going to be what I want them to be when I run this build. Let's go back to that. And the other thing that I can do is now that I have my folder structure set up, I know that everything that's going to happen within that folder structure is kind of all relative. Mm. So I can just put in a relative path, and I know that my scripts had a folder, my templates had a folder. Mm-hmm. So I can just say, go up, find the templates folder, and run my script from there.
Okay.
And then I can take out the hard-coded values that, or full, the absolute path that VS put in.
Okay. So back when you were on the dev environment, you had this opportunity to enter the password. Mm-hmm. In this automated environment, how do you supply that password?
So there's a couple ways you can do it. One, of course, is you can put it into your parameters file, and you can mm-hmm. put it into source control. Mm-hmm. And that would probably not be the best pattern if it's a shared environment. Mm-hmm. There is a way to use Azure Key Vault that will allow you to pull those passwords from Key Vault. We talked about that earlier. Mm-hmm. And I can author the template that way. That's another way that I can do it. There are also, I can show you a technique. I don't use it in this particular build definition, but there's a technique where you can actually secure environment variables within a build definition. Mm. And then I can override that on the command line. And I'll show you that kind of in another example here in a second.
Cool.
The other thing that's important to change in this is, again, is where are those artifacts, where do those start from? So in VS, when I build in VS, I have the bin, debug, bin release folder. That's where all my artifacts are built. Mm-hmm. In team build, it's going to be different. And in this case, I want to do the same thing again. I want to put in that build staging directory. And that will go pull all of those artifacts from the build instead of source control. So I can just put that in. And now that's an environment variable that you have available in VSTS. And it knows where that current build is, and it will pull from there. Hmm. So if I do that, then I'll go ahead and get rid of the old value. The next thing is the uploads artifacts switch, and that just tells the script that, hey, you've got to go through that upload artifacts path, mm-hmm. and then where the storage account resource group name that
you're
I'm going to use.
In the right parentheses.
And there, yep. Mm-hmm. And actually, I'll just show you. So that's kind of how I do it when I go through and try to figure out what I need to do. Mm-hmm. Once I've set it up, honestly, I'll go to another build def I have, and I can just copy and paste that as
right.
well. I'll do that. So if I run this, you know, I can just go ahead and I can queue the build. It'll take a while for it to run.
Right.
But then when that's done, I'll have that environment set up in Azure. So if it's a new environment, it'll go ahead and be created. If it's an existing environment, I can update it from there. Mm-hmm. So while that runs, we'll go back over to the build list here, and I'll show you another example. So this is the same project, but I'm actually deploying this project directly from GitHub. So I'm actually not going through a build, and I'm not going through the Azure Resource Group project. I just have those artifacts out there as files and folders. Mm. I pointed it, the build definition to it, and it will go and it'll do the same thing. When I do that, I kind of do that in two steps. The first step here is, of course, that staging. We talked about copying the files to Azure. That needs to be done, and I'm not using the PowerShell script that I had in VS, so I'll go ahead and do it here. And then the other step is to actually do an Azure Resource Group deployment. Mm-hmm. And we talked a little bit about how we would handle passwords in another scenario. This task has the ability to override parameters on the command line. So in this case, what I'm actually doing, since I'm not using the PowerShell script to set the artifact staging directory, I can do that here. And so I've actually done that through the file copy step. I have an output there, and then I set the value of that environment variable, and then I pass it into the PowerShell script. Mm. So it's another way to do the same thing that the script does, but I'm doing it all with tasks instead of doing it with PowerShell.
Okay.
So what I could do in that case with a password is I can come in here, I can add a variable, I could say password, however you want to spell it, whatever I type in there for my password, and then I can actually secure that password. And so now it's part of my build definition. Mm. You don't see it in any of the output. You won't see it in source control. And then I would do the same thing over here as I could come into this where I override parameters, and I just add another one here. Password. And then use my admin password, I think is what we called it. and that would pass the password in on the command line and ignore anything that was in source control and take the value from there when I run the build definition.
So now as a developer, I can deploy this to my own environment, but then when I'm ready to go to test or somewhere else where I don't have the credentials to go to, the person that does could just put that in the build definition.
Yep. They can put it in the build definition. They could have a separate parameters file for that, which that would be in source control.
Yep.
Or they could also use Key Vault, would be another way to kind of do that and manage those secrets.
Mm-hmm. Great.
And if you are publishing from a public Git repository, you don't have to stage the files, right? You can just directly point to the public URL.
Yeah, and that's what you'll see in some of the samples, and it's a really simple way to kind of get started on something like that. As you see, there's a lot of code that's involved in the staging of the artifacts. There's a lot of PowerShell stuff there to make that that work. Mm-hmm. For getting started, you just pulling it directly out of the GitHub repo is a good way to go.
Cool.
Nice.
Okay. So I think that's all I had. I just kind of wanted to show you guys a little bit about the project, kind of give you an end-to-end on how we can use it, you know, inside, outside of ES, and get people started with that.
Great. And where can we point people if they want to learn more?
So Azure SDK, we do new releases every couple months. You can go up there, you can see the release notes, it'll tell you kind of what's new in the latest tool. Mm-hmm. But go up to Web Platform Installer, grab the SDK, install it, run through. There's some documentation. Actually, we just had a doc that was published this month, and it actually talks about that same continuous integration workflow. It goes all the way down here, walks you through setting it up, and even, you know, the parameters being a tricky part of it, it goes and explains the parameters as well. So you can understand how to work that in another, use that in another workflow if you had to.
Okay, we'll make sure we include a link to that underneath in the show notes. Cool. And then can people get a hold of you, like on Twitter, if they want to?
Actually, you know, just email me. It's fine.
Email?
Yeah, you put that with the other link.
Can you give us one of these and say what your email address is?
bmore@microsoft.com.
Perfect. We'll put that in there. Yeah, absolutely. Great. Cool. Well, thanks for coming on and showing us what you can do with the new tooling. This is really, as Hashi said, it's way easier.
This is way easier.
Yeah. Well, thanks for having me. This was fun.
Yeah, absolutely. Everybody out there, thanks for watching us. Make sure to follow us at Cloud Cover Show, and we'll see you next time.
Bye.